Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. This is show number 88, and today is Monday, October 15th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, first, if I sound a little rough or slightly coarse in my voice, it's because I spent all week, less last weekend, at the Singleton Symposium in Montreal, which is an Apple technology conference, I guess you could say. And as always, when you go to a conference, you end up spending a lot of time talking loudly in loud places. So if just apologies for that, but maybe it just gives a nice coarse, you know, gritty feel. But anyway, as I was at Singleton, there were a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. I'll be talking a bit more about the weather app as it goes on this week, for those who are interested. But today I have a slightly, totally different topic that I was going to talk about. And it really is two parts. And the first, I want to talk a little bit about tech conferences. And specifically about something that I personally struggle with a lot when I go to tech conferences. And I figure this is a good audience to talk about it too, and hopefully have some solidarity with some of the people who, you know, this sort of who listen to this. And so tech conferences are a funny thing. So I went to Singleton. It's a great conference with a lot of really great people. And the conference itself was very well run. Was very well organized, put together, very thoughtful, speakers and talks. They're going to be available, I believe, on video when that happens. Definitely watch them all. There really was a really solid, conference from a conference perspective. But conferences are kind of there's two sides to that conference coin. There's the conference that's the going to learn from people on sitting on a stage from to go and kind of have that conference process. And then there's kind of the interpersonal part of it. And in many ways, that's what a lot of people go to conferences for. And in many ways, that's what I go for. I mean, there's the stuff you get on, the stuff you get from the stage is helpful, but usually it's available on video, which you may or may not watch. But really, the real crux of going to a conference, though, is about it's a rare opportunity for a lot of people to be in the same room as people who do things similar to what they do. And by that, I mean, I'm an independent iOS developer. I have some friends locally, some really good friends and some really good developers locally who I hang out with and I talk about and do those kinds of things. But most of my days, I don't have any direct human contact with people who care about the things that I care about in the same way that I care about them. I have friends and family and people, and they're interested in what I'm doing, but it's not the same as people who really get it, who when I can go off and talk about some strange thing about UIKit or about the Mac development or app review or things like that they'll be interested in and sympathetic, but it's not the same. And so it's lovely to go to a conference and talk to people who are like that. And I think especially I find for myself, not working for a bigger company, it's even more valuable that I don't. It's kind of that water cooler or that experience that is nice to have. But that said, it's also a tricky thing because in a traditional sense, like if I was a marketing guy with greased hair and that classic marketing sales guy, I'd be talking about how it's like, oh, it's important to go when you go to conferences to make sure you're doing excellent networking. You want to be, hitting all the big hitters in the room, and you want to be making sure you know exactly what's going on. Like, no, that's not me. Networking is probably one of the most terrifying concepts of social interaction that I could think of. The concept of walking around a room trying to sort of like schmooze them and ultimately turn conversations into things that allow you to talk about your products and those types of things. Like that's terrifying and awful to me. I don't want to do that. And so what I've found over the years, though, is I used to go to conferences with this kind of that expectation that I had to do that. That when I'm go, it's a rare opportunity to be in a room with people who like what I do. Maybe they're people from the press. There's a lot of things there. So there's this opportunity, and I used to kind of try that, but I really don't anymore. And the big reason I'm part of why I try not to do that so much is often I think you just come off like a jerk. And I'd rather be sort of, I meet new people, but my goal in meeting new people is to try and understand them, what they're doing, what they're interested in, and to learn about them. I know about me. I don't know about them. And typically, having that kind of a mindset and that kind of an approach means you meet a lot of interesting people and you get to know about them and you get to sort of, you know, typically people respond very well to people who are interested in what they're doing and what they're working on. And that'll often come back to what you're working on, and that's great. But it's you know, it's ultimately, I find it very frustrating if I set out with a goal of saying, oh man, I want to make sure that, you know, these people X, Y, and Z are aware of what I'm doing and do, you know, like, and know, you know that I'm launching an app on Wednesday, for example. Like, I mean, that was very tangible for me this weekend. But the reality is, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the person who, if I was like, dude, have you seen that Dave guy? He keeps like showing up everywhere and then talking to me about his weather app. Like, no, I would hate to be that person. And so I don't. I just kind of hang around, and I'm a fairly low-key person at conferences, you know, talk to people. I've ran into a lot of listeners. There are a lot of people who are probably listening to this who are at Singleton, and I, you know, it's like, so some of whom I can remember your name, some of whom I only remember your face, but, you know, I'm glad I met you, and it was awesome to be sought out and to talk to you about what you're working on and to kind of have those dialogues. But it's just one of those things that I've started to give myself a little, cut myself a little slack, where for a while I always had this feeling like if I went to a conference and I didn't, I don't know, like make a pitch to a heavy hitter, whatever that means, I wasn't, you know, I was wasting my time there, or I wasn't making as full use of the time there. And I mean, the reality is also to keep in mind, and this is sort of a broader comment, is a lot of the time people at conferences have existing relationships with other people that they've had for years. And for them, it is a rare treat for them to be in the room with someone else that they may not always get to see. And so being respectful of that, I think, is a very wise thing. There are a lot of people, you know, any conference, I mean, we're all human beings. It's very easy for us to kind of do this, where there's an old phrase about anytime you walk into a room, you can very quickly determine the average and see if you're above or below it. And that average could be anything. You know, it's like look, success, money, prestige, fame, notoriety, like whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. Like pretty much you walk into a room, like human nature, you know what the average is and you know if you're above it or below it. And there's this, you know, but like, and there's that natural inclination, I want to see and I want to, you know, I want to shake hands with the people who do all these cool things. And that's cool and that's great. And it's something to do. But I try very hard these days to just at some point to just kind of get over that and be like, you know, we're all people here, we're all hanging out, and I'll introduce myself to people who I think are interested and do cool stuff. Maybe I'll give them, you know, do the classic like, hey, I love what you do, but I'm typically not going to seek out too much beyond that, unless I'm kind of there's a strong reciprocation there, because the reality is there are. It's like we're all just people here going to a conference, and for a lot of those people, it's a rare treat for them to meet people who they look up to or friends they've had for 5-10 years. And you don't want to be the worst thing, pretty much in general, for all social interactions is to be the third wheel. You don't want to be that guy that's like, you know, it's better to be sought out and talked to than it is to kind of be ditched or to be someone who is sort of just hang it like a hanger on. Like that doesn't feel great. And you know, I've tried very hard over the years to just kind of accept and move on from any kind of desires I used to have to do that. Because I've definitely done that kind of thing. And you start getting, I mean, you can get crazy with it where you're hanging around like, okay, I think, you know, that person, I'd love to talk to that person over there. Okay, maybe if I stand here between them and the bathroom, maybe they're going to walk past me and we can start a conversation. Like, no joke. I've in years gone past, that's stuff that I've done because you feel, that's the kind of that feeling of like, oh, I need to make sure I do it. No, it would be so much better if I did it, you know, subconsciously or like it just happened organically. Like we met up and we had this great conversation. But the reality is, I mean, I am, and I'm sure many of you are, we're kind of socially awkward people in some ways. And whenever we try and be smooth, we're probably not going to succeed. And so that's just something that I wanted to say. It was fresh. I'd fresh my mind out of a conference. But go to a conference and seek to, you know, just have organic interactions with people. Seek to understand what people are working on more than what try and talk about what you are working on or try and pitch your, you know, try and understand what they would want to pitch to you rather than trying to pitch to them. And ultimately, I feel like you end up with a happier result for yourself, a less frustrating result, and you meet a lot of interesting people, and that's awesome. All right, that's the first topic, and I have a very brief second topic I want to talk about, and that's talking about finding opportunities in the App Store. And what I mean by that is it was a thought I've had for a while. I was doing a show topic about, and it was strongly reinforced last weekend when the magazine launched, which is Mark Gorman's new sort of self-publication. We're trying to collect articles from individuals who are geeky but not really necessarily writing about technology. And awesome, definitely check it out. I'm not going to go into a great detail of it. It was talked about on Hypercritical this last week, and I'm sure it'll be talked about in the Build and Analyze episode being recorded in about an hour. But the reality is, what I want to talk about, and I think the genius of a lot of what it does, is that there's so many of these little things in the App Store where there are strange policies or strange technology choices that Apple makes that create unique, often time-limited, and specific opportunities for app developers. In this case, there's Newsstand, and there's recurring subscriptions. So these are two interesting things where Newsstand is a whole framework and a whole different almost class of app that lets you do background updating, that has a special place in the store, a special non-removable folder that people are always going to have on their phone talking about it. You know, it's a very specific thing. And then recurring in-app purchases, which are awesome. It's a great concept to have as a developer, are only allowed for, news publications, essentially, or magazines, or whatever it's called. In this case, Marco saw an opportunity to use those two things to make an app rather than doing it in a traditional sense. This is kind of like Instagram in that it's a publication whose primary interface is an app through the store, and it means that he can do all the credit card processing and all that stuff, and the subscription management is all done for him. He's just paying Apple 30% of revenue to do that. But it just reminded me, though, of there's a lot of times that I've seen these go. Some of them you see go by. Some of them I've acted on and have been successful with. But it's being very a student of the store in so much as understanding when those opportunities exist and where those unique things that not everyone will be able to or could take care of are. And so, I'm just remembering, when Newsstand first came out and I looked at it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. There are so many cool things you could do with this. And at first, I didn't really know all of what Apple was doing in terms of some of their policies around it that limited what I was doing. But I built an Instapaper client that I was structuring as, and I built and never polished it or released it. But I built an Instapaper client that would present your last day's links as a magazine for you in Newsstand. That was sort of the concept of the app. So it's like you would, because to try and get around some of the publisher rules, and it has to be in publication and a magazine and things like that, it's like, okay, so I wanted an Instapaper client that would update in the background. That was my goal. Because at the time, this was before the location-based updating and things that make a lot of these things go away a bit. I wanted the background loading, and you could do that with a Newsstand app. And so I was like, okay, I'll do that, and I'll build it. And, it's sort of a magazine because the content changes and it's issue-based. Every day has a new set of content. Ultimately, I didn't ship that because it seemed very strongly that Apple was not real. That was not a Newsstand app as far as Apple was concerned. I didn't test that with the app review process, but ultimately it was just, I don't think that's going to fly. I'll turn my efforts elsewhere. But I just wanted to mention it as there are often these little things, these strange technologies or APIs, these things on the edges that you can take advantage of that can really enhance your apps or create new app opportunities. Even look at what I just talked about, location-based updating is part of it, so using geofencing to do background updates is a really clever thing. And I think it was the news.me people who did it first. That's a genius thing. And always be looking for those opportunities. Always be looking for the thinking outside the box options for doing that. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, questions, comments, concerns, complaints, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet @DavidSmith. And otherwise, have a great week. Happy coding. I'll see you later.